In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Mother of the Church, Saint Joseph, Saint Peter Claver, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate St. Peter Claver, a Jesuit missionary to what is present-day Colombia. He went there to be, as he says in his own words, a slave to the slaves. He went there to be a missionary and to evangelize and to do whatever he could to win the salvation of all those slaves that were being brought to Colombia, which was kind of like an entry point for slaves being brought to South America in that time. And he wanted to minister to them, to bring them the message of salvation. And he had to first do it by showing them kindness and charity, as he recounts in his own writings in the Office of Readings today. He and his companions would greet these slaves as they came off the ships, many of them already weakened and sickened from the journey, and try to show them charity by bringing them food and medicine and attending to their care of these individuals. But also in the meantime, after doing that, first showing them, as he said, showing them the language of charity, because many of them thought they were being brought to the New World to be eaten. They thought they were going to be consumed and cannibalized. So they were very leery of anybody who was white, who was European, and that they thought they were their enemies or were afraid of them. So he said, we had to approach them with smiles and with all the things that show that I'm concerned about your welfare and taking care of the sick, made an impression on these people. They knew that these people were not there to harm them, but to help them. And then after winning them, you might say, their trust and confidence, St. Peter Claver knew their language of some of those tribes, he would begin to catechize them and to tell them about the true God. And that seems rather kind of maybe a little bit odd maybe for them to see this person telling them about the true God when they were being brought there as slaves. But St. Peter Claver was trying to make the best out of a bad situation for them and to at least introduce them to Christ and to the message of redemption. And so he quickly would tell them about the necessary truths that they need for salvation, that there exists a God who loves them, that he also came, his son came and died for them on the cross, and that he established a church, and the necessity of baptism for them to enter into God's family. And then he would administer the sacraments of baptism to them. At that brief encounter or initial encounter that he would have with them, maybe he may only have a day or two to be with them before they're shipped off to someplace else. But he made the best use of that time to evangelize them. It is said that he is responsible for the baptism and evangelization of almost, I think it's like 750,000 slaves. And that one of the things that he's also known, that before he would let them get away from him, that he would enroll them in the brown scapular. He would put the scapular of Our Lady on them, knowing that he just was able to plant the seed of faith into their souls. And he thought the last thing he could do and the best thing he could do is to send them off under Our Lady's mantle and protection, that Our Lady would supply or assist them with her motherly help with the graces they need to further that and to increase that graces that they had received through his hands. So we have St. Peter Claver today, who, much like St. Paul in the reading today, said, I made myself a slave to all, and that St. Peter truly made himself a slave to these slaves. He wanted to be their servant, to bring them the most important thing, which is Christ and his salvation. Today also in the gospel, our Lord brings up a very good point today, which is so necessary, maybe especially in our world, about the importance of judgments, the judgments that we make. That our Lord is not condemning making judgments. You know, where he says, judge not, lest ye be judged. Our Lord is not saying that you should never exercise your human intelligence and your intellect, which is made to make judgments. You have a conscience, which the conscience is your first moral judge. It says to you, this is good, this is bad, this is true, this is false. Do this or don't do that. So your conscience is there as a moral judge in regarding to your own actions, but also to the actions of those around you. So our Lord is not saying you can't make judgments. You have to make judgments. You wouldn't be human if you didn't make a judgment. But what he's saying is you can't make a judgment that you are placing yourself in the throne, you might say, of the supreme judge, which is Christ. We don't know all the situations of a person's motivations and their culpability necessary, but we can judge actions. We can judge that this action is a good action, this action is a bad action. And especially parents or people in a positions of authority or the welfare of the common good have a certain duty to make judgments. You know, a parent has to judge, it's not probably good for my child to put his hand on the stove while the fire is running, or that my child shouldn't just, you know, run around and run across the street on a busy street. They have to make judgments and make corrections about things that they see are wrong. So that's not what our Lord is talking about. He's talking about, you know, that we are not the one who can judge someone as being, this one person is, you know, there's no hope for them. So we don't just toss them out, you might say, and have no hope for them, and so we kind of write them off as not being worthy of redemption. We cannot make that judgment. We're not God. And even then, we have a duty to pray for those who maybe they're in terrible straits, but the judgment should never be that they're not worthy of God's mercy and our assistance in whatever way. In this gospel passage today, our Lord is saying, yes, there are people who are doing wrong, but first maybe make sure you're not doing something worse, that you are first checking your own actions. And there are a lot of people out there, they have a business of going around judging everybody and critiquing everybody else's actions, and they never take a look at themselves. And they may be far more guilty of far worse things than the things that they are critiquing or criticizing or judging in their neighbor. Now, someone who is a pro-abortion Catholic who supports abortion, I would think they better take a look at that beam that is in their eye and get rid of that before they worry about other social inequalities. You know, that someone is not getting paid properly, or that immigration, that they're being denied something. They better take a look at that big beam that is in their eye of abortion and remove that, or they have no real place to go around to really judge other things because they have this big moral beam stuck in their eye and they're not willing to remove it. But of course, when we look at our world today, there are some people who are running for political office who have some very serious flaws, and it would be a certain injustice, I think, not to mention these flaws and to bring them up to the attention of other people because this person is wanting to run, or whatever person is running for an office to have in charge of the common good. And if this person has major flaws of not just, you know, there are actions that are verifiable, that have been serious moral laxity and a certain disqualification, then there needs to be talk and discussion about this for the sake of informing our brothers and sisters and to have a good debate about this, because this or that person shows a certain disqualification because of that. And these are things that we need to bring up to our neighbors and discuss. It's not like, oh, you shouldn't judge, or you shouldn't, you know, who am I to judge? Well, the person is robbing a bank, you know, and they got the money in their two bags in their hand. You say, well, I can't judge Joe. I don't know what he's situated. No, you have to make a judgment about that and do something. It's not like we're sitting here like paralyzed that we can't do anything because, well, who am I? Who am I to judge, or who am I to do this or that? Because, you know, that's not Christian. That's not what our Lord is talking about. We have to make judgments. We have to act on them at times. Sometimes we are obliged to correct if we have a position in order to correct. We have at other times we have to stop an injustice or someone doing something that is wrong. Other times all we can do is pray for them and give them good example. But we surely should not be allowing to sit by and just, you know, let evil have its way. That is not at all what a Christian should do. You know, we're not these limp-wristed, no-backbone persons. That's not a Christian. We have the ability to stand up and resist evil. And we do have to make judgments about our neighbors at times. And we have an obligation to therefore act in charity. And in charity at some times may be that we have to stop them or correct them. And but we have to make sure, we also have a certain introspection that the first person that we should look to is to also make sure that we are not guilty of far worse things in our own actions, in our own interior. But that doesn't mean that we can't make corrections. If for some reason you have to be perfect before you can correct or judge anything as being right or wrong, well, we would be in a terrible state. We would be like we are today in many cases where no one is doing anything and allowing injustice to go on and be even furthered more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.